Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is a story for everyone here because every story matters. Welcome everyone to the Storybox. This is the place to be if you are a lover of stories, learning new and interesting things, and if you want to grow abundantly. My name is Jay Phantom, and I believe it's my purpose to help you realize your worth and become the greatest and best version of you possible. I am grateful that you're here today. Now let's journey into the Storybox together and hear more about whose story will be unboxed today. I do have to put out a warning for all of you that are about to listen to this conversation. It contains food themes. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad that you all are here. We are continuing the 2-year anniversary of the Storybox with another awesome human being. He's someone that I actually have seen grow up and create something truly wonderful of himself. And he's now incredibly iconic if you are Australian. His name is Morgan Hipworth. And now Morgan is one of Australia's rising culinary stars. He started to dabble in the kitchen at the age of just 7 and held his first sweets and treats home bake sale at age 9 before going on to sell his sweets wares to Melbourne cafes. In 2016, at age just 15, Morgan launched his now iconic Melbourne bakehouse called Bistro Morgan. He has been a guest judge on Junior MasterChef Australia and hosted his own miniseries on Nick Jr. And his passion is now to inspire the next generation of food lovers. So there are those food themes I'm talking about. Be careful, this conversation will make you hungry. I'm not kidding. That's a good thing, actually. But combining global culinary influences with a pure love of sharing food and laughter, Morgan takes you into his world of food, fun, and inspiration. He has already amassed a huge following with well over 500,000 fans on TikTok and over 100,000 people on Instagram alone. I love going on Instagram and seeing all the things that Morgan makes. I've tried a few of the recipes that Morgan has made on Instagram just because I'm a visual learner as well. And I kind of think it looks easy when I see Morgan do it, then I go and do it myself and it doesn't really work out too well. But there again, you got practice, right? So anyway, my friends, Morgan has a brand new book called Made by Morgan. And if you are wanting to get some incredible recipes, I highly encourage this book. I've tried probably about 3 of them so far. I ventured into doing them and I don't think I can make it as good as Morgan can, but trust me when I say it, the recipes are insanely good. Okay, that's just me saying it. You can thank me later for those people in Australia and for those people in the US as well. You can still get it too. I'll make sure all the links are in the show notes below. All right, my friends, please support the show even further if you can by subscribing and leaving a rating and review. It would also go a huge way to help support Morgan by getting a copy of his book too, plus also sharing this episode around as best you can. All right, my friends, you know what time it is. Once again, we're going to enjoy the 2-year anniversary of the Storybox today. And like I said, food. It's all about food here and stories today as we journey into this story box and listen to the incredible wisdom, the advice, the stories and the recipes, hint, wink, of none other than the legend himself, Morgan Hipworth.
Thanks for having me, bro.
I've been really, really looking forward to this conversation, man. Like, I came across your Instagram page a while ago. I've been watching and loving all your quick reels that you do. It's so easy. I made your, what are they? Those quick and easy potato.
The smash potato ones.
They hit the... They're good, aren't they?
Easy and just delicious.
Easy, delicious, and very simple to make, which I love all three together work in harmony. But man, 100%. I do have to ask you my first question that I normally love asking all my guests at the very start, which is, what does success look like for you?
I guess to me, I've always lived by the saying, if you find a job you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life. So for me, I guess success is that being true for the rest of my life, I guess, and waking up enjoying what I do day in and day out, no matter what that is and what that looks like, as long as I'm happy and enjoying it.
Yeah, love that definition, man. When was the moment for you, because you mentioned that you've always lived by it, but was there more of a catalyst moment for you? What age were you? Do you remember that this is like success for you?
Yeah, I guess for me, I sort of grew up with lots of different career options in mind, and I had, you know, as you do growing up, at one stage I wanted to be a concrete truck driver so I could let the concrete on the road and just get all the cars stuck. Like, I had all these random ideas, and then I found my way into food from watching like MasterChef when I was about 7, and I started cooking at home and doing a few things, and I guess I sort of really started the path I'm on, where I decided, well, yeah, let's be honest, working for other people in kitchens and hospital is really bad hours. You're working when like everyone else is enjoying themselves at dinner and things like that, and it's a lot of hard work for a really little reward in lots of cases. So I was like, well, maybe I could go in and own my own business and then choose my own hours and do it myself. And God, I didn't know how much work was involved, but looking back now, I guess that's probably where that sort of, you know, life came from.
Yeah. No one really ever knows the extent of how hard it actually is starting your own business.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of the most rewarding things ever, man. I wanted to ask you, like, when you first had that inclination of, I want to do cooking, what was it about the cooking that sort of made you desire to want to do this long term?
I guess for me, being in the kitchen, I guess I always felt at home. There was something about it. I think growing up, I was never an overly sporty kid. I wasn't like a nerdy kid. Like, I didn't necessarily have that happy place as such. Yeah. Whereas I found my way into the kitchen, and it was sort of what I would do on my weekends when, you know, my mates would be, you know, meeting down the skate park or whatever they'd be doing. I'd be, you know, cooking up a storm at home and trying to get them over for dinner so I can like feed people and stuff. So I guess I always felt comfortable and happy in there. And I think I'm a very sort of logical person, and I loved back when I first started being able to follow recipes and really like the chemistry of food. I think, you know, like, why when you whip eggs, do they gain volume, you know, when you whip egg whites and things like that. I really love to understand and work on. So I think that's why I love cooking so much. And of course, not really. My mum has a motto in the kitchen, which is no more than 4 ingredients. Otherwise she's out of there. And my dad, on the other hand, is a good cook, but he doesn't necessarily enjoy it. So like, if he's home by himself, he'll cook and he'll have a really nice meal, but he's not going to go out of his way to make dinner. It's not like what he likes to do. There's not really anyone in my family that I took after. My grandma used to just be like a normal grandma, you know, make a cake every now and again, or like an apple crumble, whatever it might be. But a lot of it was me trying to like make them happy. And that's another thing I meant to say that I love so much about food, is the experience and the enjoyment it can bring to other people.
Mm. So where do you get your creative ideas for specific recipes and all that sort of stuff, especially when you were a young kid? Like, what inspired you the most to make sort of different dishes?
I guess when I first started, a lot of it was just following recipes, to be honest. And then it was buying recipe books. I probably got 400 or 500 recipe books in my bedroom still to this day. And I would say 90% of them were from the ages of like 7 to 12. Like that's when I collected most of those. And it was going through those, you know, pinning down ones that I really want to make and then putting my own twist on it and things like that. I used to sort of set up, we've got like two dining rooms at home. We've got like a formal one and like a one we use every day. I used to set up the formal dining room at home as like a restaurant, and I'd call it Bistro Morgan because I love French food. So that's where like Bistro Morgan first started. And I would print out menu cards and make my parents score all the dishes out of 10 and everything like that.
Man, that is awesome. Like, so did you have like a favorite chef at all that you would usually model yourself after?
It's really hard. And I find this question about anything favorite really challenging because there's so many different favorites for different reasons and different times. People always go like, what's your favorite thing to cook or what's your favorite recipe? And I'm yet to figure out a way to answer it. My answer normally is it really depends on like the vibe I'm looking for. Same goes for chefs. You know, obviously you have some really amazing people like, you know, Ramsay and Oliver, you know, Jamie Oliver and stuff like that. But then there's so many more smaller guys who are doing some really like crazy things and cool things. And I think the world nowadays is so much more opportunistic to people trying to come up and do things, which is really amazing.
Yeah, I think it's hard as well, like trying to choose favorites, especially with food. Like it's so difficult, man. Like how do you really define it properly? Like
I equate parents trying to pick a favorite child. That's how I sort of equate picking a favorite food. Like you don't really say it. You might have one on one day, then the next day you're like, oh, I'm not feeling steak today. Or, you know,
I feel the same way. Like I don't want to upset any of my friends. And if I say, oh, that's my favorite, I just say they're one of my favorites, you know, so I can get away with it. So I got a massive list and you're on the list. But it's funny because like you mentioned Gordon Ramsay and, you know, it's funny enough, I learned how to sort of cook. I'm not a great cook or anything like that. I enjoy cooking, but I learned how to cook in hospital. So that's another story entirely, but it was Gordon Ramsay's cooking shows that kind of inspired me to experiment in the kitchen. And I wanted to ask you, as someone that is a chef and quite damn good at it, would you recommend throwing out the ingredients list and just experimenting for yourself?
I think everything has its time and its place. And I talk about this in one of the intros, my recipes in the book about packet mix cakes, because it's a very similar like concept. If you go to the cinnamon tea cake recipe, Jay, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. The cinnamon tea cake recipe was a funny one. I grew up with my great grandmother making this cake that I always thought she made from scratch. And then when I started to cook, one day I said, oh, I'm going to make it with you, Nana Leo. And I went over and I made it with her and she was just using a greens packet mix. And I nearly died at the thought. I was like, oh my God, I've grown up this whole time thinking it was like a homemade cake and it was a packet mix cake. And then believe it or not, it actually taught me a lot of things about it because I hadn't been in the kitchen long enough to create my own flavors and to, you know, bring all these, you know, different techniques together. So by following these recipes to a T and making the packet mix cakes, for example, it gives you a really good foundation as to what things should look like. And then when you have that general understanding and knowledge, then go on and do whatever you want with it. Like nowadays, I cook by eye mostly. I don't weigh things necessarily and things like that. I'm like, you know, it needs a bit more salt, needs a bit more sugar, things like that. But that's the knowledge you get from like, I've been cooking for like, nearly 14 years. So like, that's what you get from doing that. When you're only first few years, I would don't say stick to it like a military style, but you know, use it as a really, really solid reference and build upon it.
Yeah. I guess like when it comes down to my mom actually said to me, she's like, when it comes down to baking, you've got to be almost dead on or precise.
It's a chemical reaction in baking. You're doing chemistry.
I was never good at it.
And same goes for bakery and like, doughs, which is obviously what a lot of my experience is in like yeast-based doughs. As soon as you change percentages of ingredients, it does change it completely.
Man, this is probably why I haven't attempted to make donuts yet.
Yes, they are quite challenging.
Yeah, even when I went off like the greens packet mix or something like that, I still botched it up. That's why I went more to savory food and allowed the the more professional people like yourself to make donuts and cookies and all that delicious stuff. So, you know, your cooking style and absolutely like making it yours, like what was the process like for you making it yours? And what advice would you give to a young person wanting to be, you know, the next, you know, I guess, or a new version of, for themselves, like the next Morgan?
Yeah. I think for me, travel is such a key thing. And obviously that's really hard with COVID, but I was pretty blessed to have a lot of holidays growing up as a kid. I'm an only child. So my family and I, we've traveled to a few places, a lot in Asia. So I'd say a lot of my, I wouldn't say it's heavily inspired, but a lot of my cuisine does have some Asian influence, which I really love, and I'll absolutely love Asian food. So that's definitely influenced a lot. And I think traveling and tasting things really helps so much. But it's all about that balance. I think, you know, for me, you need to also look at things close to home and then be able to take that and reinvent it. I often take really old dishes and try and reinvent them into a new way of thinking about it. Things like, you know, the iced Vovo biscuit, and like I've got a recipe for like homemade Tim Tams in there and stuff like that, which is like really iconic Australian dishes, and you know, turning them on their head and changing them up a bit.
Do you do much with Vegemite?
I did do a collaboration with Vegemite like really recently, only a couple of weeks ago, where I did a Vegemite brownie. So I put Vegemite in the brownie, and it's so funny, people don't know what to think, but believe it or not, it's just like a salty caramel brownie, because the Vegemite's quite salty. You add it to the chocolate, it just like brings out the chocolatiness. It's not Vegemite-y.
I'm going to sound very un-Australian here, but I hate Vegemite with a passion.
You hate Vegemite.
But if I was going to try anything with Vegemite in it, man, I definitely want to try something that you've made that's included Vegemite. I can just say that right off there. Get it out of the way. But man, like I'm curious about, you know, your parents being, you mentioned it a few times in the book, actually, how supportive they were of you. So what were some of the things that they did to help support you?
I guess for me, like, as I said before, I'm an only child, which I think has sort of been a bit of a blessing in disguise, because, you know, now we look back and go, if there had been more children, they would have been very stretched and not able to actually help me as much as they have. So mum especially is very sort of hands-on, I guess, in the business as well. You know, if I ever need an extra staff member, she's down there. If I need an extra driver, she's doing deliveries and things like that. So she's been like that since day one. Dad's similar to an extent. However, he's probably more like helping me in like the decision-making side of things. And he also used to be a builder. So my whole family, including myself, built the store, like to save on paying someone to build it. I just didn't pay Dad a wage. I just paid for all the like materials. And I was like, Dad, you can build it. You take 2 months off and build it. So we all built the store together. Like I sanded the seats myself, I painted the store myself, all that kind of stuff. Cause you know, I was 15 trying to save every cent I could. I think they've always been super supportive, which I'm like super grateful for.
Yeah. Can you able to share the story of how your official bakery started? It's quite a story.
So pretty much I obviously been cooking for quite a few years from home, and then I went down to a local cafe. I was with my grandma and my mum. We were having some lunch when I was 13, and it was actually on Melbourne Cup long weekend. So I had the day off of school. I remember it was a Monday, and went down and had a really, I still do, I have a passion for good milkshakes. I love good milkshakes, and I hate it when they're like light and fluffy and airy and warm. Like I just despise it. So I went down to this cafe and I had a really good milkshake, and I think we just had a sandwich or something. And as we were paying the bill, I was like to the owner, the person who was serving us, I was like, oh, that was a really good milkshake. And then I ended up asking to buy some coffee beans for my machine at home, because I've been making coffee since I was about 7 or 8 as well, just for my family at home. And it's pretty unusual, obviously, for a 13-year-old to be buying coffee machines, coffee beans at a cafe. So she was like, why are you buying coffee beans? And then all of a sudden I explained to her, I was like, oh, you know, I do a bit of cooking and baking and whatnot at home. And one thing led to another, and she was like, oh, well, maybe you could bring some samples down and we might be able to sell them here. Like, you never know. And I didn't think much of it. And then about 2-3 weeks later, it was in the back of my head. I remember going into my mum's room one night. I was like, "Mum, do you reckon they were serious?" And she was like, "Well, you can only email them and ask. The worst they can say is no." So I drafted up this long email and I sent it over, and they came back. The manager was like, "Yep, that was the owner you were chatting to. She remembers you. She's asked me to get you in to bring some samples down and see if we can make something work." So then all of a sudden, we took some samples down. I'm supplying this cafe with like any cake you can imagine. Like I'm doing like brownie slices, lemon tarts, chocolate tarts. Like I'm doing absolutely everything for them. And this is whilst I'm in year 9 in high school, and I was 13. So it was a bit of a juggling act trying to do homework and baking at the same time. And then orders closed at 3 p.m. So like at 3 p.m. we could get a text on our phone with like no order or like a $400 order, which meant I was baking to like 11 p.m. that night. So it was really hard to plan things. And then at this stage, I still never really made a donut before in my life, which is obviously what we're known for now. And then they asked me to make some donuts for Valentine's Day, which I made in love heart shapes. And they were so popular, they wanted normal round ones each weekend after that. And then all of a sudden I had an article in the Herald Sun down here in Melbourne, which was just like about me supplying the cafe whilst I was in school. And they just focused on the donuts. Like, I don't know for any reason, but the title of the article was like, "There's dough in donuts for Morgan." Like, I think they just liked that pun. But because they focused on the donuts, all of a sudden I had like 50 other cafes approach me wanting these donuts. And off the back of that article, as you said, like I was on Today's Show, might have been when you first saw me. I think I was like 14 back then. I was on like Sunriser Project, all that kind of stuff. And it really just, I guess that was the start of the momentum. I was literally could not keep up with the amount of cafes that was contacting us. And then every weekend from home, I used to like bring in my cousins and like aunties and anyone who was willing to help to make these donuts. We're doing about 800-900 donuts a weekend from home, and we're delivering to the cafes on the weekends. And I did that for about 2 years. And that's when I saved a lot of my money to try and, you know, I always had the idea I wanted a store, but my dad was always very, you need to finish school and then go into it. Eventually, me being me, got really, really impatient. So in like September of 2016, I was like, "No, I want a store, I want a store." After many arguments, we came to the compromise of having a pop-up store. So we were like, "All right, in the school holidays, let's do a pop-up." And I had an 8-day pop-up store where we ended up selling over 10,000 donuts in those 8 days. Which is just absolutely insane. We had like a queue out the door every day. I don't think any of us expected it to be that crazy, but it was. And following that same store came up for permanent lease about 2 months later. The landlord was like, "Oh, you know, I know you like the store and all of that." And in my head, I'd sort of like fallen in love with the store. I was like, "I can't imagine anyone else being in this space. This is mine." So yeah, somehow I convinced my parents to let me take it on. And yeah, we opened in December of 2016, which I was going into year 11 when I opened.
And for my audience, how old are you now?
I'm 20 now.
You're 20 now. I'm five years older than you, and you've achieved so much more than I have in a, mate. Honestly, I got to applaud you. Like that's
thank you, bro.
Absolutely insane. Cause you know, like I was saying in the intro, I remember you being a young kid, you seemed very ambitious, very like you wanted it. Like you could tell that you're a hungry guy that, you know, and I was like, you know, he's going to blow up, like no doubt about that. And here you are, Yav.
Here we are.
It was like, what sort of like in those moments of getting hundreds, if not thousands of donut orders, what kept you going during those pressure moments, those high situations? Because you're juggling school, trying to keep the business going. You're trying to keep your passion alive. Like you're trying to graduate, I think, as well. What kept you going, man?
I think for me, and this is a funny one because people often only see like the glitz and the glam that go along with it. They only see like the polished photo shoots and the polished videos and all that. And they don't necessarily see all the hard work and late nights that go into it and what you have to give up. Like for me, year 11 and 12 was pretty much life was work and school. There was not much social life. There was not much else going on. And that was all the sacrifices I had to make. I think it comes back to honestly loving it and really enjoying it. There's, if I'm in the kitchen, I'm having a good time. You know, obviously you have days where you're tired and whatever it might be, but all in all, there was some really fun times and some really fun opportunities, like to be at that age and, you know, looking back now, you know, going to markets and having people queuing for your product. And it's that adrenaline rush, I think, that keeps you going. And then being able to share that with the world on social media as well was really, really cool to be able to sort of document it a bit. Like sometimes I'll scroll back all the way through my feed now and it's sort of cool to see like that progression.
Mm. Do you have any regrets from that younger self?
Not really, not one bit, honestly. I think something I've always done, whether it be good or bad, and I'm sure lots of business people will tell you it's bad, is not necessarily plan things in terms of, I don't have a really stringent, oh, in 5 years, I want to have 20 shops and a restaurant and this and that. I've sort of, everything's been very, very organic growth and opportunities arise and things happen and you learn lessons along the way from those. And I think that's why I've almost done so well as well, because consumers can tell when something's pushed and something's fake.
Yeah.
I think we've got a really unique business that has a story behind it and people can sort of connect to it on a more personal level.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that front, man. Like that's what I've noticed. Yeah. You can tell straight away whether or not it's being forced or whether it's just fake. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, man, in all of this, when would you say was your most vulnerable moment?
I think probably the hardest one was we opened a sort of like a pop-up second site and probably towards the end of year 12 and it didn't do what we expected it to. It was in a major shopping center in Melbourne and it, just the rent was way too high and overheads and accommodation, lots of different factors. And I remember one day we went, part of my, like when I finished high school, when I graduated, my parents shouted me a trip to Bali with them. So we all went to like just a family holiday in Bali. And I remember sitting by the pool one day and we're going through all the figures and I was just like, holy hell, this is going really backwards, really fast. So I'd say probably around that time, you know, losing, you know, six figures in a matter of a few months is not nice. And especially at, I was 17 at that time. Oh. So I think something like that was a big experience and learning curve for me. Not necessarily how to fix it, but how to overcome it and how to pivot from it and move past it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you did, man. And I want to go back to the organic growth side of things because, you know, you have created something truly special, truly remarkable. A lot of people, I know people here from Sydney, they travel down to Melbourne and they look forward to Bistro Morgan's donuts and all that sort of stuff. So I wanted to ask you, like, in terms of someone, if they wanted to run their own business as a young person right now, what strategies or advice would you give to them?
For me, I always say whatever you do, you need to be in it for the right reason. And the right reason is not and is never for money. I despise when people say, I want to start my own business and be like, why? The two most common reasons I hear is, oh, it's much better pay. And, oh, you can work whenever you want. You choose your own hours. They are like the two most naive and silly reasons for starting your own business because you get paid last when you run your own business. You pay all your suppliers and all your staff first and whatever is left, that's what you keep. If some months that's a loss, then that's a loss. And you're also on call 24/7. Like if my baker calls in sick tonight at midnight, I'm going into work at midnight. That's how it works. But I would say my main piece of advice is whatever you do, you need to love it like up here. Like I'm talking 100% because business will beat you down and you'll end up only loving it 90% after 2 years. You'll end up like 80% after 5 years and whatever it is. If you only go into it loving it 20% and you're like, I think I like whatever it is, in a year or two, you're going to hate it. And getting up every day, hating it is not good for yourself. And it's certainly not good for a successful business. It's never going to work.
I love that advice, man. And the thing is, like, I can relate to it on so many levels. You know, I run this, but it's not making any money. And that doesn't faze me at all.
Like, enjoy it.
I love it so much. I love connecting with incredible people like yourself. And then guess what? Like, if I've got Americans the time zone difference, I'm answering emails at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning. It comes with the whole beast in the machine. You know what I mean? Exactly. So, man, I'm very excited to have you on the show again, and I'm really enjoying this. I've got a couple more questions for you, if you don't mind. You've got this new book out, which people can go and get right now, I believe, if you're in Australia. Can they get it in the US as well?
It's international. If you head to my Instagram, the link in the bio, there's obviously a local one, which is via Amazon, but then there's also an international one, which has free shipping like worldwide. So anywhere in the world, you get free shipping.
Epic, man. So for my American friends and Canadian friends, go get a copy of this book. You'll thank me later. Called Made by Morgan. What, did you always want to write a book or put a cookbook out?
Yeah, I guess for me, it was always something that I had hoped and dreamed to, but I never knew if it would get to that point. Do you know what I mean? I think it's one of those things where growing up, especially, I would say, I guess I said to you before, I grew up, you know, hundreds of cookbooks, and that was always a big reference for me. And it was always a hope and a dream. And I am sort of being put in the position where I'm lucky enough to be able to do it, which is absolutely amazing. And it came about like the weirdest of ways. Like I had like an Instagram poll up on my story, like asking questions, like my followers were asking questions. And someone was like, oh, would you like to write a book, like a cookbook one day? And I'd be like, yeah, it'd be like a huge dream of mine. Hopefully one day I can make it happen. And like my agent replied to the story. She's like, oh, I'll call you about this tomorrow. And I was like, sorry, what? Sarah called me and she's like, oh, I think I've got a deal potentially with Penguin for you. Would you be interested? I was like, yeah. Tell me about it. So all of a sudden kickstarted that process. And it's been 15 months since I started writing it. And it's obviously been a crazy experience going from writing every recipe in there to actually having a photo shoot, working with the photographers, the stylists and all of that to get that content, and then seeing it come to life and then finally hold it in your hands. It's just been super surreal.
Do you want to do it again?
I would hope to. I would really hope to. I think I want to take my time if I had the choice on a second one, even more, I think, and really, really flush out some cool concepts and some different ways of doing it. I think your first book is always an interesting one because you get it out there and it tells and works out if people are going to like you ongoingly or not. Yeah. And I've been absolutely blown away by the response so far. For like the first week, it peaked at number 4 book in Australia and number 1 cookbook. And like I'm talking like sitting next to chefs like Yota Mottolinghi and like some absolute beasts of the game. Like it's insane. Mm-hmm. And even now, it's been out for like a month. It's still sitting at like number 9 cookbook in Australia, which still blows my mind. So it's really cool.
And man, you're going up against Gary Manheim. You're going up against Gordon Ramsay's books.
Yep. I think when I last checked, Ramsay was number 10 and I was number 9. So,
there you go. You're beating my cooking icon. How about that? You're also going up against Jamie Oliver too. He's got a new one. But
he does too.
Oh, man, well done. I mean, getting Penguin Random House. I know what you mean about writing your first book too. Like I finished my one, a little while ago, trying to get it published. Yeah. It's like, it's one of those processes, but you get that little bug after it. I want to make more. So man, congratulations on all your incredible achievements. This is my second last question for you. Yeah. What would you say has been the weirdest food combination you've ever tried or made?
Ooh, I would say this is probably not something that you'd actually try because it was more for a prank. But like many years ago, we did a prank for a radio station and we made a normal looking donut, but we filled it with chili tuna.
Oh, nice. it was a subject.
But then I would say probably the weirdest one that actually kind of worked. I did a collaboration with Indomie, the Mee Goreng 2-Minute Noodle Company, and we did a Mee Goreng donut, and that actually worked really well.
Yeah, right.
I filled it with a chili chocolate cream and then topped it with white chocolate that I mixed that, MSG chickeny powder through. I mixed that through the white chocolate. So I made the chocolate almost savory, topped it with some crushed up noodles, some more sweet chili. And it sort of unami, sweet, salty worked well together.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Very interesting. As long as it worked, huh?
Exactly.
Man, my final question for you, this is my all-time favorite question I ask everyone at the end. Now, you're only a young guy, so I'm very curious to hear what you're going to say to this one, but it's a hypothetical question. Just imagine with me for a moment that you've been able to reach the age of 100. All your friends and your family have decided to put together a film for you of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. Don't ask me how in the world they got it all. We'll just call it magic for sake of argument. But they've been able to get it and show it to you on your 100th birthday. What do you want that film to say and to show about your life?
I guess I'm only, 20 years into that 100 years. But so far, I think I would like to say how much I follow my passion and my love for all things food and business and really make that my life. Super genuine person who really goes and tries to have a go at things. I would say that would be the top line thoughts. I would say, who knows what the next 80 hopeful years are going to bring. But if it's anything like these ones, yeah, I would say, yeah, genuine person who, yeah, goes out, has a shot at things and really just wants to live a happy life and not worry about like money and all that like shitty stuff.
Yeah. Good ending, man. Where do you want people to connect with you, learn more about you?
So you can check out, I'm on Instagram and TikTok are probably like my two biggest socials, and my one, which are at Morgan Hipworth. And then my business is at Bistro Morgan on Instagram as well. So I like post my general cooking on like my accounts, and then Bistro Morgan is all thing donuts and like the actual store.
You can thank me later, guys, when you go follow his personal account. It's awesome.
One of my top accounts. Edit a Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme beer, like a homemade Crunchwrap Supreme. So you can watch out for that.
Mate, this is awesome. Dude, thank you so much for your time today. Loved every second of it. Really do appreciate you. Everyone, Bistro Morgan or Morgan Hipworth, whichever one you prefer. Thanks for joining me on the Storybox, man.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I really don't like this part because it means that sadly we have come to an end of yet another story. I just want to say thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to our guest today. It is my prayer that you would have felt inspired, motivated, challenged in some way, and that you would have learned something new as well. If you would like to hear more amazing stories like this one, you can do so now by searching up the Storybox on all podcast platforms. It is that easy. And if you did get something from today's guest, please do share it around with your friend or family member who you feel could benefit from hearing today's story. And before you go, I greatly appreciate it if you could spend 30 seconds leaving a rating review over on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way to reaching more people and building this community of the Storybox. Let's start changing lives through powerful stories like this one you heard today. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Until next time, when we dive back into the Storybox, I'm Jay Phantom. And don't forget, your story is worth more than you know. I'll catch you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.